Hare Krishna. Okay. Here's a question by the Lita Devi Dasi. She says, throughout our scriptures, we hear that Krishna cannot be pleased by austerities, and yet we perform near Jalikadasi, which we all observed yesterday. So, why is that? If austerities don't really please Krishna, why do we fast, and why do we do such an austere fast? So, when scriptures talk about that austerities, penances, sacrifices, etc., don't please the Lord, it means that when these activities are performed without any devotion, without a desire to please Him, and for some personal motive or out of a sense of pride, such as a gyani or yogi who thinks that by his austerities or mystic power he's going to bring the absolute truth into his grasp, or he's going to force Krishna to appear in the same way that, for instance, Hiranyakashipu would force Brahma to appear before him. So Shastra says, no, this is not possible. You cannot please Krishna, you cannot attain Krishna by any other process other than by devotion. However, what is devotional service? Devotional service is how you perform a certain activity by offering incense and fruit and flowers. Can you please Krishna? No. But when you do it with yome bhakti apriyachati, but when you do it with devotion, then you can. So if we can use anything in Krishna's service with the proper mood, then all activities can be connected to Krishna through the process of bhakti or through the process of devotional service. And that is what we're doing. That is what we're practicing. We're taking all of these activities, such as fasting, such as making offerings of food, such as worship, and so on, just as the chanting of mantras, and we're doing this with devotion. When Mayavadis chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, do they please Krishna? No, not at all. Why? Because they have the wrong conception. But when one chants Hare Krishna with the idea of trying to please the Lord, then certainly that brings Krishna within a devotee's purview. So, anasaptasya vishyan yathar hadupi unjitan nirbandi Krishna sambandi. So, if we are trying to please Krishna, then all our activities can be transformed into devotion, including austerities and worship and so on. Another question, Mohini Mystery, question that's asked quite a bit, is sometimes very enthusiastic and sometimes not enthusiastic, sometimes circumstances and laziness, compromise. How can I compromise me? How can I always be devoted in such a way that I'm pleasing to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada? So once again, as we spoke the other day, it begins with recognizing that one has to discipline oneself. To achieve anything in this world requires discipline, and that is as much about material activities as spiritual activities. So the discipline begins, for example, that one takes a vow, I will chant one round a day. By chanting one round a day and keeping that vow, sometimes one's enthusiastic for it and sometimes one's not, but we do it anyway. By doing that every day, then the vow gives one strength to increase one's commitment. And similarly, by chanting one round a day, the heart becomes purified and one gets more taste. In this way, chanting two rounds, four rounds, 16 rounds, 64 rounds, one increases one's devotion becomes steadier through the natural purification of the heart. And in the same way with every other activity, one may say, well, I will get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to chant that one round. In other words, early rising. And so one rises at 5. And then when one has become strengthened by that activity and determined and sees that, yes, rising at 5 is not such a big thing, then I will rise at 4:30 and then at 4 and then at 3:30 and so on. So initial steps, baby steps, help us build up to become steady. But the key is that one has to be determined and one has to stick to one's determination, whatever the circumstances, but start with a small step and build up like that rather than jumping to a large step. In the same way as if we've fallen down. When we fall down, we don't just pop up on our feet immediately, but rather we just rise slowly. First one hand on the ground, another hand on the ground, we grace to our knees and so on. And gradually we stand up. In the same way, we're in a fallen condition, and when we want to rise to the platform of steady, pure devotional service, then we have to do it in stages. But one has to be committed to do that. So if you don't want to get up, if you don't make the effort to get up, then you just stay in a fallen condition, and you stay on the ground. In order to get up first, the desire has to be there to get up, whatever the circumstances, like it or not. And the last question is from Ramasundar Das, who says that we know that Jaya and Vijaya took different births, and their last one was a Shishupala Dantavakra. How come that the killing of Shishupala and Dantavakra is not as prominent as that of Kamsa, killing of Kamsa? This is the arrangement of Yoga Maya, the emphasis of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, the first half of the 10th canto is about Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, more than the first half. And then comes Krishna's Mathura Leela and Krishna's Dwarka Leela. Because Kamsa is so intricately involved in Vrindavan Leela, we hear about him and read about him a lot, right from the first chapter right up until his killing. Whereas with Shishupal and Dantavakra, we hear of them as their appearance and imminent death takes place. So it may be that they're mentioned less, but that's just the nature of how the pastimes unfold. Of course, if we were there 125 years ago, then although not so much mention is made, but nonetheless, Shishupala Dantavakra have a whole history. And in some Puranas, that history is described in more detail. But if we were to actually live through that history and see it, then perhaps we wouldn't think that there was such a prominent role given to Kamsa, since Kamsa's killing took place in the first 15 years of Krishna's life, whereas, for instance, Shishupala and Dantavakra, Krishna was already 90 years old or even older when he killed them. So they were around a lot longer, and in that sense, they were much more intricately involved in the length or the extent of Krishna's pastime. But the bottom line is that that's the way Shukadeva Goswami describes it. That's how Yoga Maya manifested. And still, things are as they are. Kamsa is the demon Kalanemi, was the demon Kalanemi in his previous life. And so he also appeared at the same time as Jayan Vijay and so many other demons, because that was Krishna's purpose. He didn't appear just to kill two demons, but he appeared to kill so many others. And, of course, that's described in great length in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. So, tomorrow's my last day. I'll be going back to London tomorrow. I'll be trying to put up a podcast. If there's one missing, that may be because I didn't have any time to make an up-to-date podcast. request everyone's forgiveness in advance. My apologies if that is the case. Otherwise, Hare Krishna.